welcome to a bonus episode of Our Plant Stories, and we're talking dahlias.
So even in one seed head, let's say you collected 20 seeds from a single seed head, that would produce 20 completely unique and individual plants. And that is the joy of it from my point of view. Every morning during the summer, I will come out and inspect the beds, normally in my dressing gown and slippers, and look for that Christmas moment of, oh, look at you! And, you know, it's just Christmas every day.
A few years ago, I purchased a small brown envelope of dahlia seeds from the National Dahlia Collection. They gave me so much joy, and I think Philippa Stewart, who you just heard, also loves the excitement of not knowing quite what you're going to get. I was talking to Philippa, and do check out her Instagram account, Just Dahlias, for a plant story that I'll be sharing later this year. But whilst I was with her and hearing her total passion for all things dahlia, I couldn't resist doing a little bit of recording for now. It's not exactly an Our Plant Stories sew-along, but in this short bonus episode, Philippa talks us through some dahlia varieties that she loves and how to grow them from tuber. If you do so, then later in September, we'll be back with Philippa, who will share with us how to collect the seeds so that you too can in future have the excitement of sowing dahlia seeds that will grow into unique plants. Philippa also introduces us to drying dahlia flowers, which I have never tried. Take a look on the episode page on ourplantstories.com for some stunning examples of her work. And it's her passion for the colours and qualities of these fresh and dried dahlias that leads her on her journey of sowing seeds, to see if she can discover new varieties that will fit in with the colour palette she loves.
Everybody's always in a rush with dahlias, and it's the 20th of April. You could easily go to the garden centre now and buy yourself some tubers, and okay, you can pot them into pots in a greenhouse if you've got a greenhouse. If you haven't got a greenhouse, you don't need a greenhouse. You could be planting those tubers straight in the ground, but I wouldn't do it yet. I would wait until at least, the way I work it is I think, well, at best, they're going to break through the ground in about 2 weeks. So if I planted them here in Cheshire in the middle of May, our last frost rate date is usually around the 20th of May. So they're not going to break ground before the frost date has passed. So just work back a couple of weeks, that kind of thing. Or a good rule of thumb is if you're planting your temperature of your soil at the planting depth, which is about 6 inches, is 50 degrees Fahrenheit or 10 degrees Celsius, then you're good to go. You can plant your tubers straight in the ground. But equally, I've planted tubers as late as the end of June and they have still flowered. Okay, it might have been a week or so later. The longer you leave it, the more the ground is warm, and dahlia tubers do not like sitting in cold, wet soil. That is just not going to be conducive to producing nice plants. So leave it a bit later, and then you will, the plants, I can promise you, will catch up.
Can you give us a few ideas of ones that you would suggest we look for that you know are just lovely, that are gonna, you're gonna love, we're gonna think they're amazing? Just a few varieties that you think of, you're starting out, try a couple of these or two or three of these, this will, you won't be disappointed.
Well, I think my best advice would be, I learned so much from my customers and seeing what they put together, and an absolutely beautiful mix for a bridal bouquet has in it a Cafeolae, a Sweet Natalie, a Jesudi Mercury, a Caroline Wegemans, and probably a white one like Small World or Snowflake. And I know that you can get hold of all of those varieties quite easily. So I would, if you were growing dahlias for the first time, I'd think, right, well, there's so much fun in growing the large decorative varieties. They're also known as dinner plate varieties, but the dahlia growers don't, the experts don't like them being called dinner plate variety. Apparently it's an Americanized term. But those, what's not to love about growing a flower that's 30 centimetres in diameter? It's just going to blow your mind. So you've got to grow one large decorative. And I would say, I grow very few large decoratives these days because most of my clients are wedding florists and they find them a large flower quite dominant in a bouquet, so they don't need them. And plus, they tend to be very susceptible to weather damage because they're such big heads. But ones that I've grown that I can highly recommend. You've got to grow café au lait. Now, I mean, I know it's a cliche and probably it's the one dahlia everybody's heard of, but it is incredibly robust. I grow it out here and it's always outside. Regardless of the weather, I find it gets minimal petal damage from wind and rain and whatever. It's a very robust flower and it's a beautiful colour and a beautiful shape. So that's one I would recommend. Caroline Wagamans. The best cuttings for Caroline Wagamans are without doubt from Richard at Withy Pitt's Dahlias, who also does other fantastic cuttings as well. So I can highly recommend that. And it's a beautiful water lily shape and a rusty peachy pink colour, very subtle. And then you want a bit of a different shape in there. So that's where I would bring in Jesudi Mercury, which is a darker, more rusty peach colour, and then it's got the fantastic cactus shape, and then you'd want a smaller, maybe the Burgundy Pomme Tam Tam, which not sure you can get hold of anymore, but so I'll recommend a small pom-pom, Small World, which is absolutely beautiful, or again Snowflake that I've mentioned before, which is a pure white small mini pom and very prolific.
And all of those could be grown in pots or yes. Outside?
Yes, dahlias love being in pots, absolutely love it. And they're easier to look after as far as slugs are concerned because you can put copper around the tops. Also, I've tried mulching with sheep fleece. Slugs don't like sheep fleece. They don't like the whatever's in, is it lanolin, I think? I don't know. But anyway, they don't like the texture of sheep fleece. So it's much easier to look after them. It's much easier to monitor the watering. Dahlias initially, when you first pot them up, you don't want to overwater. They don't like sitting in water. So you would only water very gently until they start sending up shoots, and then you can be watering a bit more generously. And then when they're in full growth in the season, if they are in pots, the one thing, their foliage will shade the pot. It'll be like a rain shadow. So you do need to, I check my pots every day in the height of the summer. And I usually, what I do is I stick my finger down the pot, and if the compost is dry, I know that they need watering. But generally in the summer, I would say my dahlias need watering every day.
And what aspect? Do they need sun?
They love sun.
They need to be south facing, full on
really.
Sun?
They do really. And we're lucky here because that is south. So the field beds and all the beds in the veg plot are all south facing, so they're getting huge amount of sun right from the first thing in the morning until the last thing at night. They will grow in dappled shade as well, but you'll get better results from having them in full sun.
Any advice against slugs and snails? Because I have had that happen. You know, you've been nurturing in there, and then one big chomp and it's gone.
They're a nightmare. They are an absolute nightmare. And what I find in the garden, I find it much harder because there are lots of places for slugs and snails to hide. Whereas the dahlias in the field are only dahlias, so they're all growing up together. The ground is exposed. They're much more. It's much easier for the natural predators to get in there and attack all the slugs and snails. Last year I had a bit of a nightmare, so beer traps did work, but I lost a lot of plants, to be honest. But when I was giving a talk in the Lake District, there was a lady, and I can't remember her name, which I'm appalled about, but she was had one of the national collections of hostas. Now, there's no other plant that gets decimated more by slugs and snails than hostas. And she said to me she uses a garlic spray, and you have to do it. But she said the only thing is that people don't persist with it. You have to do it at least once a week. And it's a recipe that I just got off the internet. I think you use 2 bulbs of garlic. It's easy to Google. And you boil it up, and that makes a concentrate. And then I think you dilute it to 1 to 10. And she said she sprays that on her hostas every week. So that is what I'm going to be doing this year. And I don't mind. You know, I can go out with my knapsack sprayer It's a lovely, one of my favourite times in the field is just as the sun's going down. So I'll be there. Stinking of garlic, wafting up and down the lines, and I'll definitely be using that.
Well, that's funny you say that, because in the last series we interviewed Vicky Meads, who has a fantastic, has won gold medals at Chelsea and Malvern, and she has this wonderful collection of hostas. And that is what she has. She has a garlic spray. So the recipe is on the website under the hosta episode.
Oh,
and I have made it. I didn't do it last year and suffered. This year, my entire kitchen absolutely smelt of garlic spray, yeah. And I have it not in a glass bottle, has to be in a plastic bottle.
Right.
And I have been doing that on my hostas.
Oh, well, there we go.
It's wonderful, and it made a real difference,
Fantastic.
So, yeah. That's...
But, and the other thing I would say as well, that leaving the planting later... I think I was telling you earlier, I found a tuber that I'd left on the side, and once I did actually plant it in July, it grew 4 foot in 4 weeks. Well, if you plant your tubers later when the ground is nice and warm and the air temperature is much better, they are going to grow like triffids, I promise you. When you put a tuber in the ground and you're sat there waiting for it to come and you think, oh, this is taking forever. But the later you plant it, the more they're just going to get going, and they will bolt through any slug damage. I had a variety last year called Labyrinth, which got decimated by slugs, and I always have backup plants somewhere. So I remember walking past it in the field and thinking, oh, I'll have to replace that. I'll just pop another plant in. Because that's the other thing I do. I have backup plants just to plug gaps. And I completely forgot about it. Came back to it a week later. It had bolted through the slug damage. And that plant, actually, the slugs must have naturally pinched it out. It was the most beautiful habit that year. And it had grown through it. So, yeah, I recommend garlic spray, beer traps if you want to as well. And then there's the hunting
Relocating
with a torch at night. That's very effective. But yes, if you plant your dahlias in the garden right next to a box plant, for instance, where the slugs can have a lovely time hiding in there and then whip out just as you've gone to bed, then yeah, you're going to have issues. But
where do dahlias come from?
Mexico, which is really weird because when we had the... When was it? I think it was during COVID when we had that terribly hot summer and we had no rain at all. All the wedding venues had brown soil and they didn't have grass. And all the dahlias here were going, oh no, this is far too hot. We don't like this at all. And I was walking up and down the beds going, come on, you lot. You come from Mexico, for heaven's sake. But I think they grow up in the mountainous regions, so they're getting much more... of a variety. Okay, it'll be intense heat during the day, but then it'll come right down to colder temperatures in the evening. And I presume they're getting water, because I did have to water mine during the intense heat. But yeah, and so for instance, in this greenhouse that we're in now, 1 year I did grow quite a few café au lait in here, and only because I've got the space, not because they need to be in a greenhouse at all. And also it was deliberately to shield them from any rain damage. But as I say, I've found that actually the ones outside, café au lait is a very robust variety. But I grew them in here anyway, just because I had the space. And again, this is why I've got these rather lovely old tablecloths up here, because they were just wilting down in the heat and did not like it at all. Oh, that's quite a good thing to mention as well. All dahlias, if they are in intense heat, what they do is, I think it's called transpiration, they will wilt down. So during the day, you'll see them wilting and you think, oh my God, it's dying. But you will find that once the temperature, the heat of the sun has gone, then they will perk up again. So as long as they have been well watered. So my ones in pots, sometimes I grow larger varieties in a corner between two walls because I've got something to attach them to because they grow so tall. And I know that those pots, as I say earlier, that I always water my pots once a day during the summer anyway. So I know they've been well watered, but during the day they will literally sort of hang all their leaves down and look very, very sad, like they're giving up the ghost. And then once the sun's gone down, then suddenly they perk up and they're fine again. So as long as you know they've been watered, then they should be fine.
So watering is the key.
Mm.
And those varieties that you've spoken about, could we dry them?
Oh, yes. Yes, all dahlias dry. The only ones I find you have to watch are the singles. When you're picking for drying, you want to pick for the same time as you would pick for cut flowers. So when they're at their peak. Dahlias don't tend to carry on opening once they've been cut. So for drying, I would cut them, as I say, at the same time as I would, if I'm drying them, at the same time as I would do if I was selling them as cut flowers. So you want them at their peak, but if they are singles, you want to cut them before they set pollen. So I do demonstrate this on my Instagram site. When you look at a dahlia flower that's a single, when the pollen hasn't been set, the centre of the flower is very tight. And then once it opens up and starts setting pollen, you can see it's all fluffy. And that's where the bees all have a little wander around and get all the pollen on their back legs and so on. And once a flower has set pollen, that is the trigger for the flower to start shedding its petals. So if you then go and dry that flower, you will find that the petals will fall off. So if you're picking for drying, you want to do it before the flower has set pollen to guarantee that the petals won't fall off. But I'll show you when we go inside that the ones that dry, they are very robust, and people think, oh, they're so fragile. No, they're not fragile at all. The single ones tend to be more fragile, but the ball varieties, and Café au Lait dries beautifully, and it's hard to believe that such a big seed head. I tend to find that the large decoratives, they may have a weak connection between the flower head and the stem when drying, but not with Café au Lait. So some of the larger varieties I actually wire before I put them up to dry so that I know that they're going to keep that connection between the seed head and the stem. But with Café au Lait, I don't need to do that. She's an all-rounder.
Remember, there are hundreds of varieties. So if you can't find Philippa's suggestions this year, well, mark them for next year and try something that catches your eye. Remembering some advice that Philippa was given by her mother-in-law, don't grow anything you don't like because you won't look after it and then you'll feel wretched as it dies in the corner of the flowerbed. I think that is just such good advice. I mentioned Philippa's excitement at discovering new, unique dahlias and therefore her passion for collecting and growing the seeds. Standing in her greenhouse, it was a joy to look at all her tiny dahlia seedlings.
At this time of year, I would be planting the seed in a nice quality peat-free potting compost at a depth of about half a centimetre. And as you can see, they've come into my unheated greenhouse. And they've all germinated. These took about 10 days to germinate, but normally they take about a week to germinate. So, and then I will just bring them on. They're in module trays at the moment, so they're all quite close together. And then I will pot them on when they fill these module trays into 9-centimetre pots and bring them on in the greenhouse until the chance of frost has gone. And they're a decent size so that they're not going to be too susceptible to slug damage. And then I'll plant them outside. And then this year they will flower at some point and they will set tuber. And that's the way, growing from tuber is the way that you produce a clone of the plant, of the flower and the plant that you originally had. Growing from seed is where it doesn't come true. So it's like Christmas every day and you're going to get a different variety from every single seed, even if it's from the same seed head, which is what the joy is for me. But then the end game for me is, will it reproduce from that tuber next year so that I can guarantee that I have got a unique variety? Because they can be quite unstable and they may not come back from growing from the tuber itself.
So we're looking here. I can see David Howard, which is a beautiful orange, isn't it? It's a gorgeous David Howard.
Yes.
I've seen it before and thought, oh, I just love that big orange bloom.
Yeah. I'm hoping, the reason I've collected them from David Howard is...
That's your dog barking in the background,
yes,
by the way.
Yes.
What's his name again?
He's telling me the postman's there. So, can I just get that?
Yes, of course you can. Sorry, Philippa has just gone to get the post from the postman. And I am just gazing on trays and trays of dahlias. I will take some pictures. Oh my goodness, they're just coming through. You can just see the seed leaves here. And it is incredibly exciting.
Sorry about that. She normally only rings the bell if she's got a delivery.
That's okay.
So yes, the reason I collected seed from David Howard is because it does have that fantastic, gorgeous colour to the bloom, but also it's got fantastic stem length. The foliage is lovely dark coloured foliage. So yeah, when I'm collecting seed, I'm thinking this particular plant has got fantastic attributes. For instance, another one I collect from is Sweet Natalie. That's fantastic attributes, beautiful shape, very robust flower, beautiful colours. So I just think, I'd be very interested to see what the seedlings are like from that particular one and whether it will have the attributes of that particular flower.
But if I came back here later in the autumn and we looked at your row of these rather wonderful David Howard seedlings, yeah, they would all be slightly different.
Yes, they could all be hugely different. Now, I was saying to you earlier, I grew some from a variety called Tam Tam last year, which is a Burgundy dahlia, and they were coming up in all sorts of different shapes and colours and sizes. And yeah, that was the joy of it, actually, that they were all completely different. I think you may find that the only seed you can buy in the garden centres tends to be for single dahlias. They're the daisy-shaped, open-petaled ones rather than the decorative ones, which is why I'm saying collect your own. All you need is two or three dahlias in pots. You don't even need a garden, because dahlias love being in pots. They absolutely love it. So you could have three dahlias. Go to the garden centre, choose three dahlias that you really love the shape and colour of, and let them procreate and see what comes from them. It could really surprise you, and you'll have your own unique variety.
So it might be this year, choose some tubers that you're going to put in a pot and literally have for your kind of seed production, mm-hmm, for next year.
Yeah.
Because as we know with gardening, it doesn't happen instantly. It's an ongoing process. It's takes time.
And also don't forget that you can still enjoy the flowers on those plants. Because one seed head, well, I find different varieties produce different numbers of seeds. So actually, café au lait is not brilliant for producing a huge number of seeds. But something like wine-eyed Jill, I might get 30 seeds from a single seed head. So you don't need to let many seeds go to many flowers go to seed to be able to have a lot of seed. So you can still enjoy your blooms. You can still be deadheading and just allowing two or three blooms on each plant. So let's say you have three dahlias in pots. You allowed three flowers on each. You've got nine seed heads. Then that is potentially nearly 200 seeds. I think even for most people that's quite a lot. The problem will be then, how do you choose which ones to sow? And how do you discriminate between which ones you want?
I hope that this episode will inspire you to grow some dahlias. Café au lait is on my wish list, and Philippa has given me a few of her seeds to try growing this year. Next year, we could all be doing this. Details of her Instagram and website and photographs and information about where she sources her tubers is all on the Our Plant Stories website. Our Plant Stories is an independent podcast presented and produced by me, Sally Flatman.